Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and of course the views of our callers, but right now we're just going to emphasize the views of our guest, who's Melody Cederstrom. And Melody offers gold, advice on gold and investment, and she supports Radio Liberty, and we support her. And we, of course, are going to be talking this evening about what's really going on in the financial world as it reflected in what's going on in the political world and the economic world. I was asking Melody, what happened to gold today? Gold was up $9. Now, that may not seem like an awful lot, but that's really quite a move for a single day. And we have to ask ourselves why gold is moving up at this time that strongly. We're at the close of, 694, something we're in there, Melody? Melody? Melody, are you there? Well, I hope we haven't lost Melody. Melody, are you there? Can you hear me at all?
I can hear you, Dr. Stan. Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You're coming through. That's just fine.
Okay.
So why was gold up so strong today, do you think?
To term it briefly, is the U.S. dollar.
Did the dollar take a tumble?
Well, the dollar broke 82 last week, and, you know, we've seen gold do very well. It was down a little bit again today. It was down 07 at 81.86. And once it broke 82, the next stop for the dollar is 8.057, around that area. And if it continues to break through there, there's discussion that once it slices through 80, we don't know where it could stop. It depends on what type of a fight that it puts up at that 80 level. So,
well, I think it's important that people understand, what are we talking about? We're talking about the value of everything most people have worked for their whole life. You have money in a pension fund? Well, of course, it's losing money. You have money in an annuity? Why, it's losing value. You have money in the bank, in bonds, and in CDs? Why, it's being gradually and progressively eroded. A part of this is being done intentionally, you know, because after all, if we can just drop the value of the dollar, then of course our goods will be more competitive on the world market. But that means that everything you buy that comes from other countries is going to cost more. And what this is a clever means of stealing the value of the life savings of the American people. Because, of course, if you are not in some tangibles of some sort, then this is how they will steal your wealth. This is organized. This is coordinated. And, of course, they're basically, what they've done is they're continuing to borrow massive amounts of money, knowing full well that it will destroy the value of our currency, destroy the value of the currency. Why, of course, you create social unrest. And what's the solution? Why, people will be clamoring for more control, government control over their lives. Well, anyway, certainly that was really a rather dramatic rise in the price of gold today, wasn't it, Melody?
Yes, it was. And the aftermarket, we see a little bit of a pullback, but you have to remember that the aftermarket is thinly traded. And, you know, we could see a little bit of resistance between 688 and 700. And, but there's many predictions that since we broke through the 680, that there's possibilities we can see 761 in the next month or so.
Yeah, because we've been trying to warn people for a long time. You've got to begin to diversify. You've got to begin to protect yourself, because you're not going to get this any truth out of the regular media. We'll be right back with Melody. Well, Melody, certainly in view of that, did you see much action today? People calling in?
Well, I believe people were sidetracked today with the bad weather in the east, although we were very fortunate here in Center County in central Pennsylvania. We missed the storms that went through, but I think pretty much everybody concentrated on what was happening down in Virginia. So it was a little on the quiet side for such a rise in gold today, but it has been hectic. People understand. I truly don't believe people realize that even at 700, gold is relatively cheap when compared to where it's headed and where it's going. Even if it goes to 1,000 to 1,500, and there's many predictions that gold will hit 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 plus, based on our economy and the dollar situation. So looking at 700, gold is still a real bargain at these prices. And it continues to rise. I believe it will continue to rise. The fundamentals behind it haven't changed. And it doesn't matter if central banks sell their gold. I guess there was a report coming out of the G7 meeting that they're spreading the rumor again that the IMF will be selling gold. First of all, they don't have any gold, but sometimes the statement alone will prove to put some pressure on gold. But that didn't seem to be the case today. So I think with a lot of economic news being put on the side and a lot of other news being put on the side because of Virginia, I think people were sort of glued to the television sets today and to the radio today.
Well, now tell me, what happened to silver? Did that move at all?
Silver did all right. Silver was up 6 cents at 1409. We had a high of 1411 today, so that's doing well. We know that the $15 mark is fairly resistant, and a lot of people take their profits as silver approaches 15. I think once it breaks 15, I think it'll rise fairly rapidly.
I think what people must understand is that all throughout the world, people are looking for some place to put money where it'll be safe, and they realize it's not going to be safe in the dollar. Why? Because the United States is the largest debtor nation in the world, having to borrow several billion dollars a day, up to $3.5 billion every single day to pay its debts. And of course, the dollar is the reserve currency. What happens if people begin to have questions and about its value? Will be well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Melody Cederstrom, and we were just talking about why the dollar is losing value, and I was simply pointing out America is the greatest debtor nation, not only in the world today, the greatest debtor nation the world has ever seen. With outstanding debts, at least according to David Walker, who is the CEO of the General Accounting Office, of over $56 trillion. In other words, that's the money that we already owe, the money we're committed to paying out. I mean, we have a certain amount of debt, federal debt, but the real debt is about $56 trillion, David Walker, and you can Google in his name and look and see what he said. He says America's bankrupt. He's the guy who is in charge of looking after the store in Washington, D.C. And, of course, nobody really wants to address this, but other countries looking over their shoulder, certainly China, with $1.3 trillion in reserves now, $1.3 trillion in reserves, 70 or 80 billion of that in U.S. dollars, just wants to get out of the dollar. Everybody's trying to get out of the dollar, and how can they do it if they sell off suddenly? Why, of course, it would collapse the value of their reserve currency. So everybody's hedging, gradually moving out, but we know that Russia is beginning to get more and more into gold and into euros. And are other countries going to the euro as well, Melody?
Yes, they are. And we've seen Iran begin selling its oil in euros. In fact, I was doing a little reading on Iran, and I didn't know that Japan was the biggest importer of oil from Iran. And we know that Japan and the U.S., usually Japan, from what I know, usually does a lot what the U.S. tells it to do. However, I believe they're not as committed to the U.S. as they once were, but they are simply, they're the only country that hasn't decided to purchase their oil from Iran in euros, but they are willing to do so. They're just waiting for Iran to give them the proper notifications and so forth, and you don't hear a lot about that. So when you have a country like Japan changing over into euros to purchase oil from Iran, that's going to make another considerable impact on the dollar. So you have all these instances where people are running away from the dollar. They are running to quality. And our value of the dollar is all based on confidence. And it's hard to believe that that's what our dollar is backed by. And once that confidence is gone, our money becomes worthless. And it doesn't matter how scarce it could be or how much there is. It just becomes worthless once that confidence is gone.
And
we're seeing that confidence erode.
And, of course, the thing is there's so many dollars out all throughout the world. We've been able to export our inflation in the past, and certainly burden other countries with that. But right now, of course, we're seeing certainly Iran beginning to sell their oil in euros. We're seeing Venezuela talking about selling their oil in euros. And the reason that the dollar has been maintained as the reserve currency of the world is everybody needs oil, and of course it has been assumed that all oil had to be bought in dollars, so everybody wanted to hold dollars so they could purchase oil. But what happens when you can now begin to use euros, or when the people prefer euros because they are far more stable? And the euro at least has gold backing. The euro, you know, is not losing value. The euro actually has gained tremendously in value. The dollar was about $1.20 on the basket of currencies. Oh, what was it, about 2 years ago? It's gone from about $1.20 down to about, 82 today. So it's really lost almost a third of its value. And if you had money in dollars, you've lost a third of the value of everything you had over the last 2 years. But you're not aware of that because, of course, you're looking at it in as an American would look at it rather than from an international point of view. Would you like to comment on that?
It's people, when they compare the government to, you know, themselves or the individuals, or when you spend more than you make, there are repercussions, and the government is no different. And we spend more than what this country makes, and it will come home to haunt us. And the country is bankrupt, and the people have been blindly led to believe that it won't happen to the government, that they can control it. Well, they have controlled it, but eventually they lose that control. Things spiral out of control. And are we at that point, spiraling out of control? I'm not sure we're right there, but we're very close. We're teetering.
And we're not only, of course, fiscally, financially bankrupt, we're morally bankrupt as well. And I think the combination is really a very, very dangerous situation to be in. And now, of course, our forces are beginning to be built up in the Persian Gulf. Certainly we're concentrating our military strength there. We actually have three battle groups in the Gulf, now two, as you're being told. We have certainly we have the Eisenhower, we have the Stennis. We also have something called the Boxer, and the Boxer is an aircraft carrier with about 8 ships on it that carry Marines. In fact, the Marine generals just last week went on board, the 4-star Marine generals, to talk to the Marines on those ships in preparation for their landing and some sort of an invasion. And now, of course, the Nimitz is steaming towards the Gulf. But what happens if we were to lose an aircraft carrier? What would happen to the confidence in America if one of our aircraft carriers were to go down there? And what we're dealing with in the Gulf is an administration in Iran that is frankly mad. I mean, they are intent upon going to war with the United States. What nation in his right mind would pick a fight with the mightiest nation in the world, a nation with the military strength we have, other than one that had another agenda. And, of course, this is a religious agenda. They really believe that there's a sect of people in the upper echelons of the Iranian government who believe that they can bring back the Mahdi. This will be their messiah. And they will do that by precipitating a nuclear holocaust in the Middle East. Why would any rational individual want to do that? They wouldn't, but we're not dealing with rational individuals. In fact, I read something that frightened me to death last night, and that is that President Ahmadinejad, and this comes from Joel Rosenberg's book, Epicenter, that President Ahmadinejad has met with the Mahdi. The Mahdi is alive and well, and this is to be the world leader. Well, I personally believe this is a demonic spirit. And this is the Maitreya that they talk about that's going to lead the West to, he suddenly appears, mysteriously appears, and then mysteriously vanishes. So the Mahdi is a similar thing. And Ahmadinejad is meeting with him. As I read Rosenberg's latest book, Epicenter, it sent chills down my back to realize that we're dealing with people who are not rational, who are really quite mad. And if we get involved into a major war in the Middle East, it's going to have, I believe, frightening implications right here at home, as far as the price of oil, as far as the very economy of this country, which is oil dependent. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
Well, I agree with you, and I do also believe it is a spiritual or religious war. And, he's speaking with spirits. Well, so supposedly did our president speak with God and so forth. So they are sort of mad in a very dangerous way. And I do believe also what will happen over here. I mean, we are so thin. I mean, the food on the shelves, and I don't mean to frighten anybody, but it is a major concern. We lack so much, and we truly are so far behind in any type of preparation for any sort of emergency. I mean, we've seen it with Katrina. Now that's 2 years past, and everybody forgets. I mean, there's poor people from Katrina that, are as bad off today as they were 2 years ago, right after the hurricane happened. And so we're truly not ready for any type of, situation that would arise from, going to war with Iran. But we don't see it until it happens, and then it's too late.
Well, all we can do is just be like the watchman on the wall, described in Ezekiel 3 and Ezekiel 33. Our job is to sound the warning and hope that people are out there listening. Well, I guess this evening is Melody Cederstrom. And America, having turned its back on God, abandoned its religious foundations, is like a ship adrift in a terrible, terrible storm. And I believe that, as I said, we are financially bankrupt. We are morally bankrupt. The leadership of our country, of both political parties, is simply going right along with this war. There was a piece of legislation, the appropriations for the military, for Iraq, and an amendment was put onto that that said, the president cannot go to war with Iran without permission from the Congress of the United States. And Nancy Pelosi took that amendment off. So the president has the permission of the Congress to go to war. For all intents and purposes, the president can attack Iran. And ladies and gentlemen, war is a terrible thing. I've studied all of the wars of the last century, and if you haven't seen my treatise on Iraq, The Untold Story, the video, the DVD, you need to get it. You need to watch it. But you need to know the history of those wars and the terrible suffering they brought about. And when you start a war, you never know how that war is going to end. And, of course, there's only one worse thing than war, and that would be losing the war. And there's some people who think that if we get into a war with Iran, we could be in for a great surprise here in America. There could be devastating impact. Well, Melody, certainly as we're looking at what's going on in America, why, certainly we see the contraction of the housing market continues. And certainly, in my understanding, about 50 of the loaners, companies that have been loaning, on poor loans have gone under, and apparently another 50 are going to go under. Apparently, a lot of the big housing construction companies are losing money. They're sitting on a lot of houses. They just can't unload them or can't unload them at the price, where they're going to recoup their money. The stocks on the construction companies are falling. But yet the stock market continues soaring. What's going on?
Well, Dr. Stantz, the plunge protection team, they do a very fine job. The working group of financial markets, they do what they're supposed to do, and they do a fine job of it. And, people don't realize that things have to be filtered through the system. And because we've been talking about the housing market for 2 years. So we expect when we get to this point that many listeners on my program, and they expect to see things happen and things that we talk about happen sooner than what they really do. And it does take time for it to filter through, the system. I believe not only will it have a major impact on our banking system, but also the number of unemployed. The unemployed, when you think about 1.3 million people will be affected by the mortgage bubble, by the real estate bubble that we had, and then you multiply that by two, it's a lot of people unemployed and there's no place for them to go. And it's just more stress that's put on the system. And when you add all the other problems that we talk about, it equates to a lower dollar and higher gold.
All right, fine. Well, we have somebody calling in named William. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. William, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do have a comment, Dr. Stantz.
Go right ahead.
I'm a listener and to your guest. I had listened to the question, why would the United States, I heard that in reciprocity, why would a foreign nation, Iran, want to go to war with our bicameral United States? And the question that was posed in the Bible when Lucifer said to Christ, jump from this cliff. Show that you are the Christ. Show that you are powerful. Do you see the scenario there?
Sure.
Okay. That's my only comment. It's not that we couldn't be in a position of deposing. We have that through the United Nations, but I think, the question that you posed is something to carefully be pondered.
Well, I really believe, of course, that there is a cosmic script being carried out at the present time. There's a timeline. And I believe it's leading America towards disaster. And I believe, of course, it's going to somehow or other be played out with an attack on Israel as well as here in the United States. I do believe that there's going to be an attack here on the United States that's going to take away our position as leader of the free world.
Let's hope not.
I hope and pray that I'm wrong. Let's just wait and see. We'll know very soon, though, William. So thanks very much, and please keep
listening. You're welcome. Keep an open mind.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Melody Cederstrom. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and most people, as long as you've still got a job, as long as you still have your regular income, we have a lot of people listening, who are retired, and they're getting their Social Security. They have their other income coming in, but, of course, what they're not aware of, even though the same number of dollars are coming in, they're buying less and less. These products are getting more and more expensive. They're creeping up just a little. The government claims there's no inflation, But if you are watching what's going on carefully, of course it's inflation. When they come up with their inflation indices, why, they simply ignore the price of energy. They ignore the price of food. They ignore the price of anything that's going up because they're scamming the figures. And I think it's about time people understood you're either going to have to believe what the government tells you or believe your lying eyes. And certainly inflation is obviously much more than 2.2 or 2.3% as they're telling us. Would you agree with that, Melody?
What we're seeing is the repositioning of power and wealth of the world, and it will play itself out. And I don't know where the U.S. will end up, but I mean, Ron Paul said the greatest thing facing America today is not terrorism or foreign economic competition or illegal immigration. The greatest threat is our disastrous fiscal policies. And when you're broke, when you're bankrupt, you lose your power. And everybody, I've been told, well, we have our military power. Well, I believe if you're broke financially, you also lose your military might. And I'm not a military person, but to me, it just sort of makes sense.
Well,
but,
I think there was General Schumacher was, of course, a four-star army general who recently resigned as head of the entire armed forces. And he, as he resigned, he said two things. He said, this is the most dangerous time of my entire life. And then he said, as far as the war in the Middle East, we're much closer to the beginning than we are to the end. But if you stop and think of the implications, why would a four-star general say this is the most dangerous time of his life? And we're told everything's going fine over in the Middle East. And what he is, of course, not saying is our army is broken. Mm-hmm. Our troops are exhausted. We can't really. There is another problem in the world. There's no way we could possibly face it. And certainly our equipment is being destroyed. We're running short of ammunition. And in the Middle East, we're much closer to the beginning of the war than we are to the end. And so the military knows what's going on. They want to get out of Iraq. The last thing in the world they want is to go into Iran. Many of our generals and admirals, at least five of them, have said they're going to resign their commissions if the United States goes into Iran. And I hope a lot more of them will do it as well. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I understand that the Chinese are backing Hillary Clinton's candidacy.
Where did you get that information?
Well, it was apparently on the radio. I heard somebody say that. But I don't know. It's very disturbing. It makes sense, though. It really makes sense.
Well, of course,
Bill Clinton, you know, is involved in selling technology to the Chinese. When he was president, he was selling a lot of technology to the Chinese. He was pretty buddy-buddy with them then. So I imagine there's probably some truth to it. I don't know.
What do you think, Melody?
Oh, I think the Chinese are for the Chinese.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I never saw Hillary as a threat. I think Pelosi is more dangerous than Hillary.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
So, you know, until she gets elected, I just don't think she's electable.
Yeah.
And what concerns me, the only reason I would have a concern for Hillary is then if Bill got into the UN. But
yeah.
Other than, I just don't think Hillary is as dangerous. I think she's a sidetracked. I think she's there for a discussion and a distraction.
Distraction, yeah. Yeah, it seems to make sense. I don't know. I don't know about Barack Obama either. I don't know much about him. But
well, I think the establishment choice is John Edwards. I think
That's
what it's really all about. He's been picked by the Bilderbergers.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to create him. And hey, hang on there, Ray. We'll be back in just a moment here. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And anything else you want to say, Ray?
Yeah, I heard that there was going to be a new kind of tax. You know, I'm really not familiar with it very much, but I heard there was a new, there was something about rumors of a new tax of some kind on the horizon.
I really don't know. I haven't heard of it. I mean, they're going to tax everything they possibly can, and every time they do it, they're saying, "Oh, we're going to put on this new tax because there are all these really rich people out there, and we've got to get them, and so they'll pay their fair share." And then they put the tax on; it hits you and I, and it doesn't get the rich people at all.
It's supposed to be some kind of income, a new form of income tax or something. I don't.
Well, believe me,
I'm not clear about it.
Believe me. This has been, of course, the problem since the beginning of time is how does the government get money out of the people? And, of course, the people don't want to pay the taxes. It's known if you tax people too much, they simply cheat, don't pay the taxes. So they try to find some sort of a happy balance between them. Mm-hmm. But you could be sure that the Democrats will try to find some new means of taxing the people.
Right. Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Melody?
Oh, if they can create it, they will. When it comes to taxes, you're right. They need to create the tax. They need to get as much tax revenue as possible.
See, what the Democrats do is they tax and tax and spend and spend and elect and elect. What the Republicans do is borrow and borrow and spend and spend and elect and elect.
Yeah, right.
Okay, God bless.
Okay,
thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I don't think she's electable either, but I think she's going to be president.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but we'll just have to wait and see.
I'm wrong, too. The way it works, though, is to put up opponents who are less electable than her, and so far they're doing it.
Okay, well, it's going to be an interesting time because I don't think the Republican candidates that his have been declared yet. I said the Giuliani is. I mean, here's a guy that here's a man that gets up and says, "Look, I want you to know, I never change my mind. I decide on something, that's what I'm going to do." And as Jay Leno said, "Yeah, you just ask one of his last three wives; they'll all tell you the same thing."
Yeah.
So he is not going to be a very, very good candidate. The same thing with Gingrich. Anybody who could stand McCain, everybody has to have holes in their head. It may very well, but the sleeper will be Fred Thompson, an actor. He looks like a president. At least we don't know. He's never done much of anything, but we don't have a lot against him. But they will create somebody, and hang on, we'll be right here in just a moment. Anything else you wanted to say, Mike?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, see, I think the Chinese would like Hillary, and if they put her in, they'll get Bill back.
All right.
They liked him.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to mark you down that you have predicted that Hillary's going to be the next president.
I've been saying it for a while, and Obama's vice president.
Okay, fine.
Now, what I called about, though, was you were talking about the confidence currency a little while ago.
Right.
And I thought I'd help out the discussion a little bit. The Federal Reserve, on the New York Fed website, it says that there certainly is gold backing our currency. They've got $360 worth for each U.S. resident. They're talking about the total United States reserves.
About $1 billion.
So $105 billion, yeah, is what they're saying.
Right.
At $400 an ounce.
All right, fine. And that is what they've always said. And maybe they have it. Basically, the gold is held at the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, and it's down in the sub-basement. And that's where the German gold is, the French gold, the English gold. And they're on big pallets, and they just move it around back and forth. And I will tell you that you do not want to think about trying to get down there. It would be worth your life.
Yeah. If anybody wants to look it up, it's an interesting piece. You go to newyorkfed.org, I believe it is. Newyorkfed.org. Click on About the Fed. There's a tab there, About the Fed. And then just scroll to the Gold Vault. The Gold Vault. 24 pages or so. They tell you all sorts of funny little things like $360 worth of gold for each one of us.
Isn't that nice to know.
So good about that.
Thanks very much, Mike. Let's go to Ed calling from Calgary. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Ed, you hang on there because right now I just want Melody to go ahead and get her website out and her telephone number.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Stan. The phone number is 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. If you'd like to visit the website, it is Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Make sure you spell out the AND, Discount Gold and Silver Trading .net.
All right, fine. And so let's then go to, incidentally, what happens if they do call you? What would you tell them?
Buy gold and lots of it.
All right, fine.
No, I take each customer as an individual, and we look at what their current holdings are, and we build portfolios around what they currently hold. And if they're new buyers, then we start with the foundation, and we start and we build around that. I believe in being diversified, and I believe there isn't a one coin that fits all. And so we build portfolios based on the customer's investment objectives of gold and silver. And we explain how the coins work, which will perform better than others, why you would want to buy this coin over another coin, or why you would not want to buy it.
Okay, fine. Well, anyway, Chris, give Melody a call. What again is your telephone number one more time?
800-375-4188.
All right, let's go to Ed calling from Calgary, Canada. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Good evening again, Dr. Stan. And good evening, Melody.
Good evening, Ed.
I thought I'd call and give you a Canadian perspective on the sad story today and also your financial subject.
All right, fine.
You're not alone, and I'm talking to all Americans, especially in Blackburn, Virginia. We've sadly had three bad incidents up here in Canada, the Polytech in Montreal and Dawson, Montreal. Tabor, Alberta, small little farmer's town, saw a tragedy at school. And just last week, we averted a tragedy right here in Calgary where the parents had to report their son. Anyway, my heart goes out to everybody involved. It's a sad day.
Well, I think, you know, the thing is, if they did not have the strict gun rules, if people had a right to carry a weapon, they could have stopped this killer before he'd done the damage. You disarm the people, and of course then the man with the gun can just go ahead and have a slaughterhouse. You let the people have the right to carry concealed weapons, and you will see very, very few attacks of that sort, because the fellow knows he's going to get gunned down. It's very easy to be a killer when you know nothing's going to happen to you. It's very frightening to become a killer when you know that you may very well be shot before you can accomplish anything.
You're right on, Doctor. And you know we have the strictest gun control laws in North America here, and they're not doing anything about these incidents.
Actually, they're right. They aggravate, they make it worse.
It's right. You know, you hit the nail right on the button. You take God and prayer out of school, and the evil will fill the void. Comment on your financial situation.
Sure, Chris. You can hold up there in Canada because you're a lot better safe than we are financially.
Our dollar went up 3 cents against the U.S., and everybody's sort of thinking that's good. It's not. We're going down as fast as you are, just a little slower, that's all. We're deeply in debt. We're also escalating our situation up in Afghanistan, leasing more Leopard tanks from Holland, and last week was our worst week. We lost 8 soldiers. So you're not alone, America. You're not alone.
Well, of course, the Canadians are our brethren, and we share a common language, a common heritage, and maybe one day, of course, you can become part of America. Who knows what's going to happen? But certainly, if you come out of America, I want you on our Constitution. I want, of course, our Constitution, because it's the only thing that possibly guarantees freedom to the individual. God bless you, Ed. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, Doctor, and your guest.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you.
And let's get our telephone number out again. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We've got Carl calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Carl. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right tonight.
Fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, it was more of a comment.
All right, fine. Just speak right up, please.
Yeah, I remember hearing, because I just started listening to this station this year, but on the fact that America has no morals, and the timing that we're living in, I've heard it said that America is the Babylon in Revelations. If you think about what happened with Babylon in Revelations, her countries that befriended her turned around and turned against her. And that's pretty much what we're looking at.
Right.
I mean, when you see that, you see that we're actually worthy of judgment, being that we have no morals.
Right.
Every nation biblically that was destroyed had no morals. So if we pay attention to prophecy and what I've heard spoken on the station from you and other broadcasters on the station, I mean, it's just time.
Well, I'm very much afraid that God is going to bring his judgment on this country, Carl, but he does that to get our attention, and there may be terrible suffering, there may be terrible difficult times. But hopefully, you know, this will get people thinking, and hopefully people will turn back to God. That's all we can hope for, because if we do not have a great revival, another great awakening in America, then the America you and I know and love will cease to be.
Right.
Anything else you'd like to say?
No. Thank
God,
you. And
God bless you. Please keep listening, and thanks very much for calling.
Yes. Thank you, Carl.
Bye-bye. And that was Carl calling from Flint, and of course we have a station there in Flint, and also heard in Detroit, and we're very, very thankful we have that outlet there on the Christian Broadcasting System, and of course there's a pretty good listening audience across America. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and there's no instance in all history where a nation is turned against God, where God has not eventually withdrawn his blessing from that nation. Would you agree, Melody?
You know, I agree. What concerns me, Dr. Stan, is I was speaking to a liberal person today, and we were talking about the situation in Virginia, and right away they wanted the gun control, and you know, of course, I started my argument, and I said, but first, you know, we really need, I said, it's not a gun issue. I said, look at this country and the stress that are put on the people. I said, and again, I discussed morals and no God. I said, we need to get God more into the present. And the first thing was, that won't do anything. And it's just like, you know, you just go on, but you feel like you're losing a battle, because these people are so closed-minded, they won't, they repeat what they hear. It's like they are just so brainwashed, and they could pretty much be these television monitors, because, I mean, they just repeat what they hear without ever thinking, I believe what they're saying. And it's going to be a tough battle, but it's discouraging when you talk to these people.
Well, I think that the one advantage we have, we've never had before, Melody, is certainly we have the opportunity to reach these people with the truth.
Yes.
And we have it. We can do it by shortwave, we can do it by internet, we can do it certainly by radio, and now, of course, we have an internet radio 24 hours a day, and any of our listeners would like to hear 24-hour conservative, honest-to-goodness radio, simply Google in on your internet, Global Star, www.globalstar, and when you get to their website, go to 4, Global Star 4, and of course then you can pull down my programs, Joyce Riley, and we have a 24-hour feed up there. You can also do that by going to my website at radioliberty.com and click on station, and you'll, of course, go to my website at Global 2000, Global Star 2000, and then, of course, over there it says listen to live radio. Even if we're not on, you can click on it, and you'll get live radio 24 hours a day. And we hope that you'll tell your friends about it. It's just like internet, just like satellite radio, or it's 24 hours internet radio. And it's going up there. Now, if you have a satellite, of course, you can get it on satellite, but you can get it with your internet as long as you have it. And 24 hours a day, conservative Christian radio. So we can reach people. If we can get them listening, we can get them thinking. They may start out thinking we're crazy, but, you know, before long, many times they're afraid we're not. If as long as we can answer their questions in an intelligent way, all we can do is hope that the Lord will point them in the right direction. They'll begin to see truth rather than the falsehood. And they'll break loose from the control over their mind. And once they can do that, then they can begin to think independently. So we've never had this opportunity to reach as many people as we do now. And I think the fact that many of the polls show that at least 50% of the people do not believe what the government has told them about what happened on 9-1-1, to me, is very encouraging. The fact that, you know, the vast majority of the people are totally against this war in the Middle East. This is encouraging when everything we're reading in the newspaper tells us how great it is. And our job is just to keep hammering away, and certainly it's not just us. There are lots of other people doing the same thing. A lot of other people have networks out there. And so I think we're really making progress. I really do. I know our response is increasing. We know that there are more and more people listening all the time. Well, right now, if I were to call you and ask, what should I buy? You'd tell me to buy gold. But what sort of gold would you tell me to buy? Should I be buying collectibles? Should I be buying bullion? Should I be buying, should I be putting money into gold stocks or exchange-traded funds? What is the best way to have gold, and how can I secure it?
I believe the best way to own gold and silver is by taking possession of it. When you're dealing with the ETFs, although they're mostly institutional, but there's a lot of the gold bullion programs that you can obtain on the internet. You can have the gold money, and you can have, usually you end up paying more in the long run for your gold, and you still don't have possession of it. And we talk about severe financial situations happening in this country. If we go to war with Iran, possible disruptions. Our computer systems are so fragile, and when you deal with these programs, it's all computerized, easily hacked. Nothing is private. Most people who buy gold want the privacy that it gives you. So the best way, if you can, is to take possession of your gold and silver. You should be a minimum of 30 to 50% invested in gold of your hard assets, gold and silver. Many of my clients are 100% invested in gold and silver because they see the financial turmoil that is coming our way. Of that, 80% should be in gold and 20% should be in silver. Now, this is where the customer's investment objectives come into play. If I have a customer who wants just to invest in silver, well, he's going to be 100% invested in silver, and I have many clients that are. But a rule of thumb, 80% gold and 20% silver. Gold gives you the stability. Gold is more of a monetary metal. Silver, although it was monetary, is more industrial at this point in time, and you might see higher percentages in silver over gold, but it's very volatile. It can drop just as quick as it goes up. And when we hit a deflationary period where items do correct, silver will drop much faster, much further than what gold will. So you want gold for the stability. And then I believe in being diversified. I believe in having some bullion, because I look at bullion as a short-term, more so investment. Life does happen. We have situations where maybe we might have to sell something, and you would always want to use your bullion gold, your gold eagles, Krugerrands, Canadian maple leaves for a situation like that. To speculate a little more, you can go into the lower-grade numismatic coins. In fact, I sell a lot of my Mint State 61 $20 Liberties as bullion coins because the spread is so thin between a Gold Eagle and a Mint State 61. You have more value. I mean, there's like a $50 spread between a Gold Eagle and a Mint State 61, $20 Liberty and Saint. So you have much more value at this point in time, and that spread will widen.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Melody Cederstrom. One more time, Melody, let's get your webpage out and your telephone number.
1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And the website is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
All right, fine. And of course, Melody's with us. Well, she's with us actually twice a month. We always enjoy having her, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this program. But ladies and gentlemen, get ready for difficult times. And I say this not trying to frighten you, but trying to get you to the point where you'll do what you should do and do it quickly. Well, Melody, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Gold and silver, gold should be bought. I mean, against a declining dollar, gold is going to keep you from losing your purchasing power. That's why you buy gold. The profit comes secondary. There will be tremendous profits in gold, but you buy it for the insurance policy. You buy it to keep from losing your purchasing power against a declining dollar. And there's gold products, the people who sell gold. It's not a regulated market. Everybody who has the same reasons why you need to buy gold and silver, but yet the products that they recommend, you'll hear a variety of different products for this, for that, and there's a lot of misguided information when it comes to the product. So you do have to be very careful on the different products. I've heard where sometimes your foreign gold will keep you from confiscation, and that's really not true because it's based on melt value. There's no special recognized value in foreign gold. You hear about the circulated U.S. gold coins because they're dated pre-33. I mean, if you look at the value when you sell them back, you get $35 less than what you would get from a Gold Eagle, but yet you pay more in the front end. So there's a lot of little things, and again, it comes back to the investment objective and the budget that you have set aside for purchasing gold and silver, and that's how we look at portfolios. We don't do a one-coin-fits-all, because although all gold coins have a purpose, it doesn't mean that that coin is best for your portfolio. And so that's how we do things, and I think we do a very good job here. All our customers are very happy, and the customers that I've dealt with from Dr. Stan's show, you have wonderful listeners.
Well, I'm glad for that, and I'm glad that, of course, that people are really beginning to make the preparation for the difficult times that fly ahead. And, of course, our major purpose is warning people, getting people trained so that they can begin to train others, so that they can begin to educate them, because we're involved really in this spiritual battle, but people have to understand what really is at stake. And every person who understands, whether it's on the financial or the political or the spiritual level, is going to be able to talk to others. And we're not going to save America. Only God is going to do that. But at least we're going to get people thinking. And if we accomplish that, we've accomplished a great deal. God bless you, Melody. We'll look forward to talking to you later this month.
God bless you too, Dr. Stan. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. That was Melody Cederstrom. Hope you enjoyed our program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. If you agree with our message, why, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're interested in knowing more about what's going on financially, I have a talk. It's called The Financial Tsunami, and it's available in DVD or in video. And there's a syllabus that goes with it that gives you the whole background of everything going on and explains to you what is really happening financially. And we certainly have had a number of people who've been very pleased with it, that The Financial Tsunami is available. If you'd like to know more about it, by calling 1-800-544-8927. There are three books that we think are very important. Ed Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island, Professor Sutton's The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and a little book that was written 150 years ago called Fiat Money, Inflation in France, the story of what happened in France immediately after the French Revolution when they went into a fiat money system. It's really important to understand the history, to understand what's going on. And, oh, I have a little pamphlet I've written called The History of Money. And if you'd like any more information, of course, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, we're hoping that people are beginning to make preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like more information, why, of course, you give us a call. If you'd like know more about emergency food, why, give us a call at 1-800-544. Just ask for the emergency food information. If you'd like to know about certainly the vitamins and minerals and things like that that you should be taking, why, we can tell you what Barbara and I are taking. And that is, of course, the medical supply catalog. And then if you'd like to know about the various DVDs, videos we put together, let me suggest my talk. It's entitled The Forbidden Secret. And, of course, it will tell you about the secret that has been passed down for 5,000 years through the secret societies. And it certainly was known to Plato and to Aristotle and Alexander the Great. It was known to all of the great leaders of the past. And if you'd like to know what the secret is, why, of course, its story is told in Forbidden Secret. There is a syllabus goes with that if you'd like to get it. And it will help you better to understand what's going on today. It certainly supplements my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you have not seen that, if you're going to start with one thing, we want the Brotherhood of Darkness, the DVD, the video, or the book, or get them all together. And then, of course, Forbidden Secret. And then this, of course, overlaps the wonderful things that Chris Pinto has done with his DVD, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. That's Riddles in Stone. And Riddles in Stone is really an amazing story of the secret architecture of our nation's capital. Now, we do carry a book by that name. It's called The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, but the DVD, really, you'll see all sorts of fascinating interviews there, including one with Benjamin Cram, who's a leading occultist, who is actually working with the man they call Maitreya, who many people believe is the Antichrist, and well, I personally believe that as well. And there's a fascinating interview in Riddles in Stone. And then, of course, we certainly recommend the DVDs or videos put out by Joe Schimmel. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. All of these are descriptions of the spiritual battle that's taking place that most people don't understand. And that is, of course, they sold their souls for rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, many of the leading people within the music industry and within our government and our foundations or corporations have done just that. Well, our number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, this evening our guest is Dr. William Alnor, and we're going to be talking about his book, UFO Cults and the New Millennium. And, of course, it gets into the Heaven's Gate cult. You remember, of course, it was almost a decade ago when all of the people there, 38, 39 people, committed suicide because they hailed Bob Comet was coming by and they wanted to hitch a ride on the spaceship that was in the Comet's tail. Dr. Alnor, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Thanks for having me on tonight, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you just sort of pick up the story? How did you get interested in UFOs? And that's a long way away from Sydney. Somebody who's teaches at a university here, State University.
Yeah, that's very true. Actually, it came out of my interest in what's called apologetics, Christian apologetics specifically. And actually, this is my second book I wrote on UFOs. And it started when I began researching a movement that was known, it still is, it's known as the New Age movement. And in the early 1990s, I went to a New Age convention to do a report on it for a Christian magazine. And I realized that half the speakers at this New Age conference were also working UFOs into their repertoire. And in other words, they were saying that they were channeling beings, but these beings were in flying saucers. So it led me into writing an article about UFOs linked to the New Age movement. And then after the Heaven's Gate suicides in the late 1990s, my publisher offered me a contract to write a book on dangerous UFO cults that were bent on murder, suicide, and world domination. And so that's kind of how it happened.
All right, it's published by Baker Books, which is a good publisher.
Yes.
Well, why don't you pick up the story? Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about Heaven's Gate, about Mr. Applewhite, and, of course, the man who led this cult, and then, of course, how this all fits into the New Age and the New Age beliefs, because I think this is so vitally important, because we have so many people who are swept up in the New Age into the occult, fascinated by all of these promises of giving life true meaning. So you tell the story.
Yeah, so we'll start with where you suggested, with Marshall Applewhite, who is the leader of the Heaven's Gate group. Actually, the Heaven's Gate cult came out of the 1970s, and Mr. Applewhite was from South Texas in Corpus Christi, Texas, where he grew up. But he joined up with an occultist, an astrologer. He abandoned his wife and family at that point and joined up with a woman who was involved with occultism and astrology. And they began focusing in on the Book of Revelation in the Bible. And there's talk in the Book of Revelation about the two witnesses. It talks about the two witnesses that would come during some future time period. And him and the woman, her name was Bonnie Nettle Truesdale, joined up and they began claiming to be the two witnesses. And how they worked flying saucers into it, I will never know. But they kind of went from town to town throughout mostly the American West, although it was national in scope, having seminars claiming to be the two witnesses and then also claiming that they were the two witnesses of the Book of Revelation and they were about to begin an evacuation of planet Earth, and the evacuation would take place through flying saucers.
But because where did they get the funds for this? Because they had a million-dollar home when the mass suicide took place.
Yeah, well, they got their funds really because they started living communally. At first, in the late 70s, they really didn't have much money at all. And they began just parading around the country and really kiting checks and all kinds of fraud and things like that. And then they developed a following of about 30 people.
Hold on. We'll be back in just a moment.
Yeah.
You go ahead and pick this story up there, because it's really a fascinating, it's a tragic story. A lot of the men were castrated, at least three of them were castrated.
Yeah.
These people gave up everything following a false messiah.
Yes, they did. Well, what they did was they went, when there's a lot of bad publicity, when Bonnie Nettles and Applewhite got together, they then went underground for about 10 years. They stopped getting in touch with their families, and they were living in South Arizona somewhere. And then they surfaced quietly in the San Diego area. And by that time, some of them had developed internet skills, and so they were creating websites. And so they were able to pull their money enough together and get into this million-dollar mansion. And when you have 30-some adults living together and some of them have meaningful jobs on the outside, that's really that's how they were able to pull it off. I wouldn't say they were absolutely fabulously wealthy. When you have that many people pulling their resources, they were able to live in that particular lifestyle. But meanwhile, Bonnie True's the woman died of cancer, and that left Marshall Applewhite totally in control. And he just kept getting more and more erratic over the years, and they cut themselves off from everyone else and began following basically a lot of science fiction ufology. And he began to get ill over the years and started to say that, well, the evacuation is going to take place soon, and he kept saying soon, and they began getting nervous about, is this really going to happen or not? And then when the approach of the Hale-Bopp comet occurred, he basically said, this is it. This is the chance for us to shed our containers, which he meant their bodies, and to join the next world. And so he was able to talk the people into actually killing themselves because that was the only way they could, quote, shed their containers.
And they actually then intended that they were going to kill themselves, wake up then in the spacecraft, which was on the tail of the comet, the Hale-Bopp comet. And really a lot of this had to do with Art Bell and the stories that were coming out of Art Bell.
Absolutely. They believed in, they would watch science fiction all the time, and they went to Star Trek conventions on occasion, and they would tune into the Art Bell show. On the Art Bell show, the Coast to Coast show one night when the Hale-Bopp comet was coming, there was a person that phoned in, and he was a professor, I believe by the name of Courtney Brown from Emory University, that was involved with occultism. And he said he used what's known as remote channeling, or remote viewing, which is channeling. And what he saw was that there was a flying saucer on the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet, which was one of the brightest comets ever to come by the planet. And the Heaven's Gate people are listening in on this, and in their minds, this was it.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment here.
Yes.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and really, because I was fascinated reading Dr. Alnor's book, I guess I didn't realize how powerful the suggestions you can get from talk radio would be. But here is, of course, on the Art Bell show, there's what a gentleman calls in, and his name is Professor Courtney Brown. He is a professor, and he is into the occult. He teaches at Emory University, and he claims that there is a spaceship there on the and of course it's in the tail of this comet, and these people here in this Heaven's Gate group are fascinated. The Earth, the spaceship is coming for them. Here there's going to be a chance, and I guess Applewhite, who is the leader, just played this thing for all it was worth, didn't he? Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. Yeah, and one of the reasons they thought the comet was going to come and pick them up is that it seemed to change directions a little bit, but actually the reason it did that is that it neared the gravitational pull of Jupiter. So all these factors fed into it, and it turned out later that the Marshall Applewhite was dying of cancer, and so he was in a very desperate mode, personally speaking. And so when it came around to committing suicide in order to shed their containers, they willingly did it. And all the teaching in that group came pretty much from him, and he gravitated into actually claiming to be Jesus Christ, not just like one of the two apostles or one of the two witnesses. He did actually claim to be Jesus Christ.
And, of course, basically, so much of this is on video, and these people were all interviewed before they committed suicide. And would you like to talk a little bit about that? I thought your description of the euphoria, the ecstasy of these people who are about to die, as they look forward to this coming life.
Yeah, they were very high-tech for their era, and of course now it's been more than 10 years ago, but they meticulously recorded everything. And if you go to the Internet, you can still see all of their teachings online. But they did, one by one, gave their testimonies of what a great place this would be for them to head off and go to another world, because they thought they would go to another world and then come back and help rebuild the planet. That was their apocalyptic views. And in researching ufology, as I've done, and there are many UFO cults out there like this, a lot of them are really apocalyptic in the way they look at things, like the world is ending soon, and therefore we have to help fix it up or straighten it out in some time in the future. And this idea that they're going to escape the world through flying saucers or something like that is very, very common with a number of UFO groups. In fact, there are many flying saucer groups that believe that what they would call a cleansing is coming to planet Earth, meaning that the wars are going to get worse, and sooner or later, and this fits into New Age theology, there has to be some kind of cleansing. And there's really two scenarios that a lot of them follow. Either they'll be taken up by flying saucers and whisked away to come back at a later point, or all the evil people will suddenly vanish from planet Earth, and all of our problems will be done. And what's interesting about this, when you ask them who the evil people are, they'll basically say that, well, those are the Christians and those are the Jews, and the ones that won't go along with the New Age kind of agenda for planet Earth. Now, the New Age agenda is really interesting in many ways because it does posit that there is a brand new age coming to the planet, which seems to parallel what some Christians believe is the millennium, an age of peace. And Hitler tried to build it, you know, the Fourth Reich, and an age of peace that we'll have for a long time period. So ufology feeds very much into New Age ideas like this.
Well, of course, you talk about certainly the large numbers of people out here, certainly they've sort of been in the X-File, the Art Bell, and yet, of course, there is an element of truth in some of the things that they say. But a lot of these people really are channeling spirits, aren't they? I mean, they are actually delving into the demonic realm and getting, of course, messages from the other dimension?
Absolutely. This is my second book on UFOs, and the first one is called UFOs in the New Age. And in past centuries, when there would be channeling going on, it was often called spiritism in different places, everyone basically knew that the beings that they were allegedly channeling were demons. And in fact, you know, they would call incubi and succubi and different demons like that. They were like little creatures. But today, they're channeling these beings, and they're claiming that they're aliens from another planet. And so, channeling is deeply involved with spiritism. It's specifically forbidden in the Bible, as a matter of fact. But somehow people don't see that this is a danger, but it absolutely is a danger. Anytime you traffic with spiritual beings, that is a very dangerous kind of situation.
And, of course, I think that people who've studied UFOs in the past, you know, even if they're not Christians, have recognized that this is not imaginary. It's real, but it is metaphysical. It is coming from another dimension. In other words, the critters that are in the spacecraft, this whole thing. I mean, there's certainly many, many physical manifestations of this, but it is really coming from the other dimension rather than from the dimension in which we live, which is so really so foreign to the way that you and I would feel. You obviously are trained in science, as am I, and that how could we begin to get people, Christians, others, to realize that there is a spiritual dimension that these people are tapping into?
Well, that's what I tried to do in my first book on UFOs. When you compare the channeled messages that people claim to be getting from outer space, you will see that in every case it denies something about the Christian message. It denies something about Jesus Christ, the Christian message, and the Bible. And so when you add all these up, you'll see that what is basically promoting the spiritual agenda from the New Age is totally antithetical to what Christianity is promoting. And so on the basis of that, we can know that somehow it's very demonic. Its worldview is also Hinduistic, you know, Hindu worldview, and that is the worldview of the New Age movement, that God is part of everything. God is part of this table that I'm sitting at, and he's the all in all. And that's and God is not monotheistic. And also, the New Age UFO groups always seem to denigrate the person of Jesus, which is another interesting factor in all of this. So people don't take it seriously that it's really a spiritual movement, but that's exactly what it is, spiritual in the wrong side of things, actually. And there have been some secular writers that picked up on this. One is an author by the name of Jacques Vallée that wrote UFOs, Messengers of Deception. And he's not a religious man at all, but he tried, you know, in his books he basically proved that the alien agenda is basically evil. And others that have written about this topic have noted the same thing. And it used to be that most people believed in what's known as the nuts and bolts theory of ufology, where UFOs were actually machines from another world put together in factories just like a Ford automobile might be. But over the years, it's become so spiritual in so many ways that people do tie it into the world of metaphysics and into the world of the occult in many ways.
I think one of the problems we have is there's so much disinformation and misinformation, and this is what you get on a program like Art Bell's.
Yes.
And it's fascinating, but you never know what's true and what's not true, and somebody will come on there and tell you about their experiences, how they've been abducted, and of course it makes it sound very, very real. And of course this professor comes on onto the program, Professor Brown, talking about the spacecraft on the tail of the Hale-Bopp comet. And, of course, he's got all sorts of information, and he talks about, he's had these pictures of it verified by one of the 10 top professors in the country, and there's no truth to it.
Absolutely.
As a result, what was it, 38 or 39 people committed suicide?
Yes, I think there's 39 that committed suicide. And it's so tragic. Spiritual deception is very tragic. In some ways, it's like the Jim Jones cult. Way back when. The method they went out is somewhat different though. However, they were shot and poisoned to death. But this group, they assisted themselves and went in a gleeful way. But spiritual deception is very serious business, and so many people are caught away by wrong ideas today about spirituality. And so there's a number of UFO cults that are out there that are every bit as erratic as the Heaven's Gate group is. There's the Raelian movement from overseas, headed by Jacques Johann, that claims that they're going to clone human beings, and that they claim that the government is after them and they might have to kill themselves someday or kill other people. There is the Solar Temple group up in Canada, mostly, and also France, that there's a number of deaths associated with them, and they felt that when they would die through astrological things, they would wind up on the planet Sirius. And so a number of groups are science fiction dominated, but are absolutely dangerous in the way they interact.
Well, of course, you point out in your book about the Aum group over in Japan. Want to tell our listeners just a little bit about that group?
Yeah, the Aum group was headed by a man by the name of Sayahara. And I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly. It's been a while since I wrote about that. But that was the group that bombed the Tokyo subway system with sarin gas, and 12 people were killed. Well, it turns out when you look at their theology, they were following the script of a book written by Isaac Asimov that talked about how we'd have to save the future sometime by starting Armageddon right now. And they felt that that's what they had to do. In order to save the future, they had to start the Third World War at this particular point, because chances are that a lot more people would survive if they started it right now. But again, they were fueled by science fiction theology. And I forget the name of the series of books. Oh, yeah, it was a Foundation series of books, which is a very famous science fiction series, and they were just trying to follow the script of that.
Well, yeah, because I couldn't help it. I think, as I read your book, I thought of it about a cult that was up in Oregon. And I forgot whether it was Ma Rita or something, Yogi or whatever it was, but they actually were going around town in this Oregon town poisoning the salad bar.
Yes, the Rajneesh group, absolutely.
And how dangerous it is. These people are, they have this blind obedience to the people in charge. They're all looking for something, and they join these groups looking for security, looking for a father figure, rather than going to the only real father we have, and that is our Father in Heaven, of course, who loves us and is waiting for us to approach him. Well, why don't you pick this story up there? Because, of course, there are all of these cults out there. There are pretty a number of them. And this is what, when you destroy people's belief in God, as our Supreme Court has done so well and our society is intent upon it, somebody once said, when you turn your back on God, it's not that you believe in nothing, but that you will believe in anything. And that is pretty well what what's happening today.
I look at the proliferation of groups like this as part of a distinct pattern that's discussed pretty much in detail in the New Testament of the Scriptures, and to a certain degree in the Old Testament. It talks about before the return of Christ, there will be massive deception unleashed upon the planet. And I think we're seeing that. It talks about in the last days people follow myths and endless genealogies and deception. And in Matthew 24, Jesus talks three specific times about people coming at the end times claiming to be the Christ. And Marshall Applewhite, so many leaders out there that are heads of cults, and not just flying saucer cults, claim to be Jesus Christ, and they're drawing many, many people astray. So it's a very dangerous time period we're living in, and of course, a lot of the area that you write about is the taking away of our liberties and a lot of the things that are happening as far as secular deception, and that's certainly part of the entire picture. If you look at the Christian church in America, specifically the mainline denominations, and I'm not necessarily knocking them, but it's very possible to deny every single cardinal Christian doctrine and still be a leader in any kind of church system that we have today. So it seems that people are looking for their ears to be itched and they're following any kind of deception possible. And again, this is exactly what the Bible forecasted many, many thousands of years ago, several thousands of years ago, that there would be massive deception put upon this planet. And I think that it feeds into, you know, a whole general pattern of the way the world's going that will eventually wind up under like a one-world government and a one-world religion. I think that's where we're headed right now.
Well, I agree with you.
Part of the whole picture.
In fact, that's sort of the current theme of our program. And, of course, it's in 2 Thessalonians 2. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, before the man of sin is exposed, there will be a great falling away. Now, please don't think I'm a theologian. I just know a few of these catchphrases. I don't purport to be a theologian at all. I'm just somebody, a retired orthopedic surgeon, but certainly these things ring true. And I see this great falling away coming, and it's not only coming certainly the people who are non-church. What bothers me, Dr. Alnor, is that it's coming within the people, within the church. So many Christians are getting waylaid away from this. They're getting into the experiential type of Christianity,
yes.
The so-called emerging church. They want to experience God.
Yes, absolutely. There's the emerging church movement, and there's radical feminism coming into the church. There's hyper-Pentecostalism, where people exchange their feelings for Scripture. And then the mainline denominations in general, they don't even know what they believe. The only thing they know they believe is that they have to unite all the world's religions. And so it's really bad what's happening right now. But, you know, but on the other hand, we can be optimistic because, you know, we see these things happening around us. We know that the coming of the Lord does draw near. And that in the end, you know, God's people will be saved. And that that Jesus will come back and bring in the real, true New World Order under his leadership.
Well, I think we live in the most exciting, most dangerous times in the history of the world. And,
absolutely.
And certainly, but at least we have a voice, and of course you have an opportunity to teach as well. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Dr. William Alnor. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Dr. Alnor's book is UFO Cults and the New Millennium. And, of course, the fact that there is so much interest in UFOs today, and this book really takes you into all sorts of, well, really it's about the Heaven's Gate cult, and these 38 or 39 people committed suicide. They all, of course, were dressed the same, sort of like black leotards, and they took, they just actually took two or three days to kill everybody there. And they gave them phenobarbital, and they put up a sack around their head, suffocated them, and then, of course, they took their turns until there were just two of them, and then, of course, they suffocated themselves. And all of these people committed suicide happily giving up their life because they wanted to get on the Hale-Bopp comet or at least a spaceship in the tail, and they really believed it was there. Talk about spiritual deception. I mean, this was This was the ultimate in spiritual deception.
Absolutely. In Matthew 24, Jesus talked about false messiahs that will come in the last days. And he said something kind of odd there. He says, if they say, come to the wilderness, do not follow, do not go there. Because I think that Jesus foresaw a time when there would be all kinds of dangerous cult leaders that would lead people to absolute ruin and even death. And there have been so many suicide groups in recent years. There's a group that killed more than 500 people in Africa not too long ago, and not many people have reported on it. But they were headed by some kind of messianic leader as well. And so these are dangerous leaders that are really demon-possessed in most cases, absolutely demon-possessed, that will not only destroy people's faith in the true God, but they'll try to destroy their bodies as well. And so it's a very difficult time period we're in now.
And, of course, we have certainly Reverend Sun Moon. Reverend Moon is a multi-billionaire.
Yes.
Who, of course, has spent well over $100 million on his Washington Times and has similar publications in other countries, puts out Inside Magazine and, of course, the Weekly or the Daily Washington Times. And, you know, where is he getting fabulous sums of money? Here's a man who claims he's the Christ, who actually buys the support of Christian ministries with $1 million here and $1 million there. And he's never offered me $1 million. I hope if he did, I would have the courage to just say, I'm sorry, Reverend Moon, but I can't take your money. But, you know, then, of course, what's this Solar Temple group you write about?
Well, first of all, with Reverend Moon, he got his money through investments and actually creating weapons in South Korea. And so he built up his empire over the long haul. And as far as the Solar Temple group, that's the group that killed themselves in separate fires in France and also Canada during a several-day stretch, I think also in the late 1990s. But they believed in occultism fused with a strange set of strange ideas about astrology. And they believed that, again, if they killed themselves at a certain time, that they would wind up on what they felt was the planet Sirius, which would be a different world that would be without pain and suffering and so on and so forth. But they were absolutely following all kinds of occultism and violence. And that was such a tragic situation when that happened.
And, Chris, you talk about the relationship between these UFO cults and astrology, and so much of what's going on today gets into astrology, a fixation on the stars, and certainly Sirius is one of the stars that has always been associated, called the dog star, but it's always been associated with the occult.
That's absolutely true. The way I look at it is that all these are ancient occult traditions that have gone on for many, many years, but for some reason occultism is running unabated now, more so than ever before, because people seem to believe in anything that's not biblical, anything that's occultic people kind of buy into these days. And a lot of it is the fault of the media. Now, I teach journalism at California State University in East Bay, which is in Hayward, but I look at the media all the time, and when you talk about the media, it's like you look at the Hollywood shows, and all kinds of occultism is being promoted all the time. And you mentioned the X-Files a little while ago. That was part of the whole picture, the series Sightings. And so much of what we see on television now links directly into occultism, and it's created a situation where people believe in the occult, but they won't believe in the Bible.
And, of course, the medium, I enjoy the medium, but, of course, it's entirely occultic. Heroes is certainly a very, very popular program now. And yet, of course, these people are tapping into the supernatural.
Yes.
And, of course, let me warn people to not even think about tapping into the supernatural, because, of course, your very soul is at stake. We'll be back in just a moment here, and welcome your call. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Dr. William Malnor. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Have you run into the secret, Dr. Elner?
Yes, I have. I had one of my students last quarter that gave a presentation on it, and I thought she was going to be negative on it, and she was positive on it. But that's a new best-selling book that there's nothing really new about it. It's just a fusion of occult ideas and self-help ideas. And unfortunately, like so many other deceptions that are taking place these days, a lot of people are buying into it. But it basically teaches that you are what you make yourself. In other words, you can make your own reality. And the thing that's slowing everyone down is by having negative thoughts. And it basically posits that we're all God within. So it goes to the core of the New Age lie, which goes to the Garden of Eden when Satan comes to Eve and says, eat the apple, because when you do, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so the secret is just the latest in a long series of New Age lies.
But this is really one of the most amazing phenomena. And basically, of course, what they're talking about is a secret that has been passed down by the philosophers through the years. You could tap into this supernatural power. It is theirs. It is there for you to tap into. But if you do, you're conversing with demons, and your very soul is at stake. And once they get hold of you, ladies and gentlemen, they don't give up easily. And, of course, you may never be able to escape from them. So, I mean, I would advise people do not even consider this. But why, at this time in history, you know, is this suddenly coming forward? This is one of the things that's so intriguing to me, that this is a phenomenon that is coming forward simply as everything else seems to be fitting in place. Have you had that feeling at all as we look and we see our moving towards a major confrontation in the Middle East, as we see the very moral fabric of our country beginning to crumble here, and even the structure of our churches? We find some of the leaders of our churches are closeted homosexuals who are using their positions to destroy Christianity. Do you ever have a feeling that all these things are coming together for a purpose?
Yeah, I strongly believe that. I mean, and it does fit a pattern that's discussed, I think, quite specifically in the New Testament. You quoted one of the passages in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 about a great falling away. There's also 2 Timothy chapter 4 when it talks about people be giving heed to seducing spirits.
Hold that thought, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Dr. William Elner, and of course we were just talking off the air that as things are unfolding, there's so many things happening today that this secret that they're talking about, that Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, is suddenly getting great notoriety in our country, and certainly we're seeing the destruction of the foundation of our nation here, financially and morally, Dr. Elner certainly was agreeing with me that certainly we're told in the scriptures, and he mentioned Thessalonians 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, and then you were quoting another scripture from Timothy?
Yes, 2 Timothy chapter 4. It talks about the people be falling away and following in doctrines of demons in the end times.
And certainly the secret is a doctrine of demons, no question. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I'm calling again. I was thinking, you know, the incident in Roswell, New Mexico in 1948, there was supposedly a UFO crash.
Yes.
Do you think that is a demonic manifestation of some kind, or do you think...
Well, I think a lot of what happened at Roswell, and I spoke for 2 years in a row at the UFO conferences there to kind of give the other point of view in it. I really think that what happened at Roswell was a top-secret government balloon that kind of came down, and they had, like, bodies of dummies in it for different reasons.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my spin.
A hoax, yeah.
But it's developed into kind of a cottage industry in Roswell, where Roswell's a fascinating place to visit, where the main industry in the city is UFOs, and they have a vested interest in keeping these lies alive.
Oh, okay.
Because it's one of those...
like a carnival.
There's supposed to be a retired lieutenant colonel there who claims he's actually seen the autopsies or something of one of these critters. Did you run into him at all?
Not at the conference I was at, but I know who he is, and I've read some of the things he was talking about. Some of these people there, and I'm not addressing him specifically, but just in general, are just not credible. A lot of people come to make money off UFOs, and it's really gone from one crash in 1948. And if you visit Roswell today, there's four crash sites that occurred, and tours to all of them. There's two UFO museums there. I mean, it is just incredible how much ufology has taken that town by storm. And so I think that a large percentage of the UFO movement is kind of fakery and based upon chicanery, including some of these UFO cults, where people are so enthralled by the idea of aliens and flying saucers that they believe in them so strongly that they make up things just to keep the myth alive. So
that makes sense.
But of course, the thing is that the government is not being entirely forthright with us. I mean, there certainly are branches of the government that are involved in the occult themselves. In other words, trying to tap into these occult forces. You even refer to that in your book.
Yeah, absolutely. The government certainly hasn't been forthright with it, but it only muddles the picture even further.
And yet, to the point that you really get so confused, you don't know what to believe.
Yeah, there is a book called Out There that was written by a New York Times Pulitzer Prize winner, and he talked about, for a time period, the United States government was throwing a lot of disinformation out there about UFOs just in order to discredit the UFO community. Why would they do that? Well, they do have top secret bases, you know, Area 51 in Nevada and a couple other places, in which they are experimenting with top secret aircraft that can do incredible things. And so they kind of got tired of the UFO community trying to slip on board and trying to sneak in their facilities, and so they launched a big disinformation campaign against the UFO community. And so that certainly happened.
That's interesting.
Well, let me share something with you. I had an opportunity of visiting a friend of mine back in Missouri, and I would really swear that what they told me is true. They had a major general who'd been staying with them, and he had been involved in the military remote viewing, supernatural research studies. And you probably heard about the bending the spoon.
Yes.
Well, he had a spoon, and apparently he did this while he was there. He took the spoon, and of course, you know, they can bend them in a circle. He bent it into two concentric circles. I picked that spoon up. I couldn't do anything with it at all. I'd give my IT to have seen him do it. But I think he was, you know, certainly had learned how to tap into this other dimension and was using some of this supernatural power, and I believe the military has been into that, and I think they're confusing this whole issue intentionally. There is another dimension there.
Yeah, I believe that too, and not only is our military doing it, the Russian military has been doing it a lot longer than we've been doing it.
And so we have to recognize that we don't know, because we don't have access to any of the secret information. But there really there is another dimension. People are tapping into another dimension, and we don't want to have anything to do with the other dimension. Ray, do you have anything to say before?
Yeah, I want one more thing. You know, the Egyptians were very involved in the occult.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, these ancient landing strips, so-called, places like Stonehenge and places where supposedly they have astrological signs scorched into the... into like a landing strip or some kind of, you know, I've heard a lot of weird kind of cult stories about people, you know, landing strips, you know, where people from outer space supposedly come down and one of these places, I guess, was Stonehenge or something you know, it's all very elaborate. It's a hoax, but it goes back a long, long way, you know.
Yeah. Well, I write about this in both my books and UFOs to a certain degree. These are what's called ancient astronaut theories. And in the 1970s, a lot of these theories were brought forward by a man by the name of Eric von Däniken. He wrote a book called Chariots of the Gods.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah, it sold like more than 40 million copies.
Yeah.
And it turned out that a lot of his research was contrived and even made up. Actually, while he wrote that book, he was in prison for forgery over in Germany. You know, he was really a con man in so many ways.
Yeah.
So some of the things that he brings out in that book turn out to be totally fraud.
Yeah.
And I was not a Christian at the time, and I read that book, and it absolutely amazed me. And I believed everything he was saying about it.
Yeah.
But the Nazca lines that are in, I think, Peru, showing these so-called landing strips somewhere,
yeah,
it looks like maybe there could be something to it. But if you go directly to the site, they're only like 3 feet wide.
Mm.
So he does things that he embellishes a lot of the so-called evidence, and some of the pictures that he put in his book just turn out to be frauds and hoaxes. So he's been exposed, but yet people still follow him quite a bit. But now the king of the ancient astronaut theory teachers is a man by the name of Zachariah Sitchin, and he's much more subtle. I mean, he is has a real good mind associated with him. He knows ancient languages and things like that.
Mm.
He says that when we read the ancient myths of humankind, such as the myths of the Old Testament, the myths of Jehovah, Yahweh, and if we read the myths of the ancient Greek Empire and Roman
Atlantis,
Empire,
Atlantis.
Yeah, and yeah. Myths like that, he said these aren't myths, they are real stories. And it's the story of how we were planted here on planet Earth by gods who are actually really aliens.
Oh,
and at one time they coexisted with us, but then they left us go.
Yeah.
And now we live here by ourselves.
It's the same old story, and you know, seeing the Rosicrucians and the rest of them are all very hooked into that kind of...
That's right.
You know, sort of thing. Yeah.
It's higher knowledge, and that we can't trust our own history. Our own history is fake, and it's all revolves around believing in a different explanation for the way humans got here rather than the simple fact that God placed us here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's everything is aimed at undermining belief in the Bible. That's what it's all about. And you're better off to stick to the Bible, Ray, than these other theories.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
Yeah, of course, it's gotten into this anti-Bible feel. It's gotten very much into Hollywood in so many ways, such as the James Cameron's recent thing about they found the tomb of Jesus. And then the Da Vinci Code, and everything is an outright assault on
and of course our own president saying that an ancient dream that's meant to be fulfilled, you know, that's kind of frightening in a way, you know.
Well, we live in exciting times, Ray.
Yeah.
Anyway, God bless. Thanks
okay,
so much
then.
For calling.
Bye.
Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464, and we've got Craig calling from Missouri. Hi, Craig. How are you doing?
Pretty well, thank you. I haven't heard all your show here, but I sometimes think that the simplest answer to a lot of this is usually the right answer. And I know that the quest for knowledge began with Eve and got mankind in trouble.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and the quest for knowledge is still going on, and the only thing I can see that this quest for knowledge is doing is destroying and controlling the people of this planet. And I think that the way this knowledge has been delivered to mankind is through the UFO phenomenon. And I know I went to a UFO conference down here in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, finding myself trying to convince people that, you know, this is a big delusion, and those people are almost like they're self-hypnotized.
You're absolutely right. And
it's just, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I wrote about this in my first book on UFOs. If you follow, and I when I wrote my book, UFOs, I went to every UFO convention possible, and you're absolutely right. They're like they're hypnotized because they follow such weird ideas all the time that sooner or later they get involved in what's known as suspension of disbelief, is that they lose their ability to think rationally because all they're dabbling with is weird science fiction stuff all the time. And so it's really, really hard to reach them and when they get into this particular mode where everything becomes a conspiracy or nothing. You can't trust anyone and you can't trust any facts because, you know, they're hooked into this science fiction theology. So it's a very sad situation.
Well, of course, every year I go to the conspiracy conference in Santa Clara.
Yes.
And I usually have a table there. And I will tell you that I go for one and only one reason, and that is because there has to be at least somebody speaking out for logic, and we get Christians going there. And if all they hear is all of these people, you know, that are into the UFO bit, or, you know, there are all sorts of mediums there, and fortune tellers, and diviners, and Satanists, and witches, and, I mean, you never saw such a smattering of people. But, of course, what a wonderful opportunity to go and proclaim the divinity of Jesus Christ.
So, that's great that you've done that, because I've done things like that too, setting up tables at New Age conferences. So it really has to be done. And God does honor his word, and if you proclaim the word, he'll use you in situations like that.
So that's the 25th and 26th of May. It's going to be at the Doubletree Inn there in Santa Clara. If you're interested, I will be there. It's fascinating. But understand what you're dealing with. If you have any question that there really are demonic forces, you need to go and see some of the people wearing their snake rings and their snake necklaces. And it really is. And of course, some of the talks are good, and some of them are terrible. And some of them will mislead you, but you have to know what you believe in. And it's really very simple. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Craig, do you have anything else you wanted to say?
Well, yes, I do. I didn't really go to listen to the speakers. I went to interview the people. I wanted to see what people were thinking, and I was so dismayed at what I found, I left halfway through the conference. I couldn't handle it anymore. That's how you really try to get a feel for what's going on.
Yeah.
Most of the people have the same old stories the speakers do. Or something that happened several years back. I went because I know that UFO activity is up all over the world, and I was expecting to hear something new. But I think that I really do believe that knowledge that will destroy mankind is being delivered through this UFO phenomenon, really.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It is a demonic manifestation.
Yeah, and through the messages of ufology, absolutely, demonic messages are coming through.
All right, fine. Anything else, Craig, before we let you go?
That's it. Thank you very much.
And thank you, and thank you for going. Thank you for being willing to take a stand. And, of course, we need to get the message out to as many people as we can.
Well, I plan to go next time, but I'm going to be more organized. I was caught off guard this time.
All right. God bless, and thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest is Dr. William Aldor, and, you know, I haven't asked you for your website or how people can get your book. What's your website? How can people get your book?
Yeah, my website is cultlink.com, www.cultlink.com. And my books are available through my website, but also you can get them through bookstores, mostly Christian bookstores. The one that we're discussing tonight is UFO Cults of the New Millennium. That was produced in 1999, and that was the last book I wrote. Since that time to pretty much the present, I've been involved in the doctoral program, and I received my PhD several years ago from Temple University in Philadelphia. And so I do hope to get back on writing more evangelical books. You know, my next book project is tentatively titled Disaster on the Main Line, which talks about the collapse of the mainline denominations into apostasy. I don't always like to write negative books, but I feel I have to at this particular point.
Well, we have to tell the truth.
That's right.
That's what I mean, certainly if people listen to my programs for the good news, the only good news is Jesus is coming and he is Lord, but the rest of it, everything that's going on today is terrible. Would you like to mention something about your wife's DVD, we watched that, and of course that's how we got a chance to know what you look like, but you've got some excellent footage in that, and it's really interesting about what's going on in the churches, and of course the as the churches are turning away from the gospel. Is that available through your website as well?
Yes, that's correct. You know, she's a great life partner for me, and she also runs her own website called Apostasy Alert, but she's involved in the CultLink website as well. But we teamed up in that project in the late 90s, and the video, and we've sold so many thousands of copies of that. It's called The Great Apostasy, the Lost Sign. And it's talking about the charismatic movement and how, like, all kinds of signs and wonders are being incorporated into the church these days and what the delusion is behind a lot of it. That's also available through cultlink.com. We want to work on another video in the near future about feminism, radical feminism into the church, because that's something that's very, that's getting very well known these days. We started, really, we've been involved with cult research for a long time. I was involved with the Spiritual Counterfeits Project for some time and other ministries like that. But we produced the online Christian Sentinel magazine, which deals with challenges to the Christian faith, and of course that's online now, but we sometimes have a hard copy of it that we send out to our mailing list. So all of our products are available online, and we do hope to be more active with our online ministry and even speaking ministry in the future.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back here. My guest is Dr. William Alnor. His book is UFO Cults and the New Millennium. Did you work with Paul Brook, that in Spiritual Counterfeits?
Yes, and I know you have him on a number of times in your show. Yes,
right.
In fact, I was on the phone with Paul today. So I've known Paul Brook for 15 years at least, and so we've worked closely together. And my articles have appeared numerous times in the Spiritual Counterfeits newsletter and journal.
Okay, is Paul back? Because has he left yet? He was taken off for time.
He's been back for about 3 or 4 weeks now. I think he's going to go to the East Coast for a couple of weeks soon. But yes, he's back.
All right, fine. Well, I'll give him a call. He's always a pleasure to have on, as well as you are. I hope I can call on you again. I've really enjoyed this hour, and certainly we are looking at the world through the same lens, through the same prism.
Yeah, and I believe I was on your show many years ago, so I'm happy to be back on again.
All right, fine. Well, I have a hard time sometimes keeping track, but Sydney, I enjoyed having your wife and having you on. I think this is a fascinating subject, fascinating book, and people must understand that there is a great apostasy taking place today, and it's not simply outside the church, it's within the church, and the Christianity is under attack at this specific time in history. So our job is, of course, to sound the warning and tell people just to get back to the simple gospel. Don't be looking for some way of experiencing Christianity or a more dramatic form of Christianity. There's nothing wrong with simply the scriptures and reading God's word and depending upon that for our guidance. Well, we've got about a minute for you to wrap up the program here for this evening. What message would you like to leave with our listeners out across America, really out across the world through the miracle of shortwave and internet?
Well, I think the days are evil, and we better know what we believe and why we believe it. Not only do we need to know the Word of God these days, but we need to learn how to defend it. And so I really feel that most Christians have to get involved with the field, what's known as apologetics, to really understand the deceptions around us and know how to present the truth to a world that is in desperate need of a Savior, Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't think I could have said that any better. I think that we have to learn how to defend the faith, how to present it. And, do you do a program on that? Would you be able to do that some evening for us?
Absolutely. You know, I used to be a pastor, and I've done a lot of public speaking, so I'd be happy to do that sometime.
All right, fine. Well, that's probably one of my weakest points, but certainly we need to learn how to be able to present the message of salvation to people. God bless. I give my best to your wife, and we'll look forward to having you on with us again in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you, Stanley.
Good night, Bill. Bye-bye. All right, fine. That was Dr. William Alnor. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and certainly I hope you enjoyed our program. I know I certainly did. And it's nice to find people who can express themselves well and recognize the true nature of our battle. We're involved in a spiritual battle being played on political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield, and those of us who understand what's happening must be able to stand together. Now, certainly, if you really would like to see how this plays out, if you haven't seen my book, or read the story, or heard the talk on Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And then, of course, the next thing along the line is Forbidden Secret. It's a talk we gave in January. And I will have to admit, I think it's really quite good. And I said, hey, remember, I often give these talks without notes. I have a few notes, organization here, but it's a very, very effective talk. Because I tell you the secret, and I point out that an understanding of the forces that have shaped the events of the 20th century is predicated not upon facts to be learned, but rather upon secrets to be discovered, and that I tell you that I'm going to tell you the secret. And, of course, it's a very, very effective means of presenting the message of what's going on. So that's Forbidden Secret. It's available in a video, DVD, and, of course, it has a syllabus that goes with that. And then, of course, we hope that many of you will want to get Chris Pinto's DVDs, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. And I'm actually in three of those four. I play a very, very small part. But I'm flattered that Chris thinks enough of me to ask me. But the major thing you have to understand is that our nation's capital is occultic. And there's all sorts of signs of the zodiac there. There are all sorts of statues that have to do with the ancient Greek gods. But where is the statue of Jesus Christ? Where is the statue of biblical characters? Other than Moses, there's nothing there. So are we a Christian nation or are we not? Well, that's why you need to see Riddles in Stone and understand what the secret destiny of America is. And, of course, wonderful, wonderful interviews with some of the leading occultists in America. And I will tell you, I believe America was founded by Christians. They wanted it to be a Christian nation, but there were others who wanted to use America's wealth and power to bring about a new world order, a new world religion. We're running on a cosmic timetable. We're following basically a timeline, and we're moving rapidly towards the climax in history. And you need to understand what's going on and help us get the information out. The DVDs or videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll by Pastor Joe Schimmel, extremely important today. But I think if you're one thing, one item, Forbidden Secret, if you can only get one, and then, of course, we hope you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. Remember, you can listen to our programs there 24 hours a day. If you simply go to my website, click on live, and then, of course, you get live programming, and then click on listen live or Global Star, and you can just Google in Global Star. You can actually watch a lot of our videos. They're up on Google. You can watch them free of charge up there. We hope, of course, you'll watch them there, and then, of course, you'll want to give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we want you to tell others about our program. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose this country. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on this front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men. So until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.